This is CliffCentral.com.
Here is Anthea with the latest. There's lots to cover here, Anthea, lots. Good morning, and thank you for coming in this morning. It's always nice to see you on a Monday. It's the only highlight of an early Monday morning for many of us.
Me included. Good morning.
So, where do we begin?
Before we start talking about the markets, can I just quickly tell you about something that I read in the Financial Mail this weekend? So, every week they do a something by numbers, right? This week they did dollar billionaires. There are 1,542 dollar billionaires in the world as of the end of last year.
1,542.
That's right.
Those are potential husbands, Mubs.
only Mubs.
and Anthea and Amanda. All right.
Which increased by 145. How many of them are women? Good question.
No, I wonder how many are women. Be interested.
Very few. Two that I can think of. Betancourt.
No, she's dead.
Well, her daughter, right? Her hasn't her daughter taken over?
I think so. I don't know.
Okay. All right. But this is the part, and maybe I'm sounding like a cheerleader for capitalism, but the point I wanted to make was that they employ 27.7 million people, which I think is quite something. I know there's a worry that, you know, the Gini coefficient or the difference between rich and poor in the world is growing, and it is a problem.
Yeah, but you cannot show that there's a correlation between the people who are billionaires and their own staff being the poorest in the world. That's not true.
Exactly.
The poorest people in the world are usually the slaves of governments, not of businesses. And by slaves of governments, I mean that these are people, citizens, who often have very little say in their own future and their own destiny, who are controlled by a system of social engineering. So go and look into that. If you're one of those people who's an arch anti-capitalist, we can still be friends. I'm totally okay with that. We can have long conversations about this. But you need to go and do your research, because to blame the bad billionaires is to miss the point completely.
Mm-hmm. There we go.
So they're employing people, not putting people into slavery. Okay. All right, can we first begin, because you did warn about this last time you were here a week ago. You said ratings agencies, it's going to happen. I mean, I heard Labour issue this ridiculous statement about how dare these ratings agencies get themselves involved in our economy. They don't understand how it works. The rating agencies don't care about what's going on in the country.
Yep, I also saw the ANC Youth League posting something saying, can they not be swayed by Pravin Gordhan's arguments? Come on, seriously, that's so naive. So where do we start? On Thursday, Fitch came out saying they would keep us at junk status, because don't forget, they downgraded us previously in April.
Yay, thanks for keeping us junk. So sweet of you.
I didn't actually even know that they were scheduled to release a report. In fact, I think it was an unscheduled comment.
Okay.
The big ones, of course, were S&P and Moody's on Friday. Moody's kept us unchanged, but put us on downgrade watch for 90 days, which, if you work it out, is pretty much exactly after next year's budget speech.
Mm-hmm.
And then, unfortunately, S&P downgraded us to junk. So we had their international currency. They downgraded further because they'd already put international currency on junk. They put our local currency at junk status as well. The big thing about this, of course, is that the immediate impact, South Africa falls out of the Barclays Government Bond Index, and we're looking to see about 50 billion rands worth of bonds being sold this week. If Moody's downgrade us, that will trigger the next fallout of the index, which is the Citibank World Government Bond Index, and that should see another 100 billion rand flow out. Of course, you know how this works, right? I mean, I've been telling you this for years now. We got downgraded. People are going to expect us to pay more to borrow money. I mean, let's not be naive here. We are not in a situation where we have enough money to keep our public finances going, to bolster up our SOEs, which are in an absolute shambles, to pay those fabulous social grants that we release every month. We have to borrow money, South Africa. And if you think for a minute that you can, instead of borrowing money from offshore investors, that you can print money, think Zimbabwe.
Right, exactly.
Yeah, because that does not work.
All right, so what do you do if you're a South African who wants to take rands now and try to make them more valuable rather than less? In other words, you want to protect yourself from what is seemingly inevitable about the currency.
Sure. So you could probably buy dollars. That's the obvious answer.
Is now
right?
A good right now
oh, yes.
Today a good
so
time?
So I saw this morning that the rand is only 14.06 or 14.09 last time I checked, mm-hmm. which I think is actually fairly strong considering what happened on Friday. You know, this rand is very strange. Just when you think it has to weaken, it suddenly strengthens.
Yeah.
And I really am struggling with why the rand is strengthening. I mean, are people saying this is a turnaround? I'm not sure this is the turnaround. I think there's more to go.
14.09 at the moment.
Yeah. 14.09. Okay.
So
that's well.
You
it's doing
say,
well.
You would
hey?
Say buy some dollars.
Buy some dollars, for sure.
Okay.
You also, of course, in your pension fund are predominantly exposed to rand hedge stocks, which will do well in a weakening rand environment. And I'm always cautious about advising people what to do because your liabilities, if you live in South Africa, are in rands. And unless you're planning to move overseas or unless you're 100% sure that the rand is not going to strengthen again, then it's quite difficult to send money offshore, you know, just kind of willy-nilly
yeah.
or at a whim because
sure.
your liabilities sit here, so your assets predominantly should sit here.
Okay.
In theory.
And can we talk about, while we're discussing our portfolios, last week was actually kind of a messy week.
Oh, wasn't it?
Naspers dropped quite a lot.
Oh, twice in a row. So the decline started on Wednesday.
Why? It makes
no
sense.
It's a combination of the rand was quite strong last week and I think profit taking because Naspers hit 4,100 rand a share last week.
Sure.
So
yeah.
Last week, Monday, I was sitting here going, oh, Naspers, 3,800 rand a share. And then 2 days later, or a day later, it hit 4,100 rand and then you just saw profit taking. So on Wednesday, the market, Naspers was down about, was it 3.5% or 4%? If you had taken Naspers out of the equation because the market ended negative on Wednesday, the market would actually have ended up positive. Same thing on Thursday. So Naspers really is driving this market. It's now a quarter of our market.
Sure.
So, yeah, it this heavyweight kind of, it's really worrying. And I think if you'd asked me, I mean, we talk about it every week about Naspers because it's such a big component of our index. Would you be buying a share at 127 times price earnings ratio? Kind of gives you anxiety, right? And when I know it's made up a third of Tencent, which is also on a 50 times price earnings ratio. By the way, you know Tencent is now bigger than Facebook market mm-hmm. cap, which I think is quite incredible. So, yeah, I think it was just profit taking in Naspers because of a couple of things, because it's quite expensive, and
right.
secondly, because the rand was quite stronger.
Okay. I've just got to say to you that on the 10th of October, I bought some Bitcoin. I have more than doubled my money.
I'm very impressed. Well done.
Despite also profit taking in between.
No, that's brilliant. I love it. You know it's going to end badly, though, right?
Oh, really? Is it? Is that your point? Tell me more.
Look at that graph. When last have you seen anything like that?
I don't look at these graphs. You would know.
The 1800 Dutch tulip bulb bubble. I'm just saying. Listen, I'm not opposed to Bitcoin. I think it's great, and I think people should speculate, but be careful, because it can't carry on up. You know that, right? So, and how do you know when to take your money?
Why do you say can't carry on up?
It
if
can't.
More people all
there
over the world, I mean, there's a tiny number of people invest in Bitcoin by comparison with people on stock markets, for example. And if these people no longer want to be prey to the vicissitudes of markets and of governments, and they instead want to go to a place where they will determine the value of something and it will be able to be exchanged.
Okay.
Currencies don't
Stop.
Come into it.
Yeah,
determine
the
value. How do you determine the value of Bitcoin? Tell me.
Well, at the moment, it's completely, you've often said, it's a feeling thing. It's got no basis in any kind of fundamentals.
Well, there you go.
There's people participating in it. There's the value.
Yeah,
a shit ton of people
yeah,
are in
exactly.
it.
Exactly. So,
I mean, why would you buy tin or aluminium or silver or gold?
Because it has value. You can buy tin and sell it on to somebody.
Yeah,
right
now,
you could
sell Bitcoin onto anybody.
Anybody who will buy it.
And
when the buying stops.
Yeah, but I don't want to buy tin right now.
But isn't that true for gold?
So gold is the other thing I really don't like, right?
I know you don't.
And look what happened to gold. It's exactly the same thing. It came off. It did this. So the gold graph is probably also at some stage in the history of markets looked the same as Bitcoin. It doesn't anymore. It's come the other way. So there you go. I'm not completely anti-Bitcoin.
I'm just asking because I know it riles you and it gets you irritated.
We do sit in the office and have a bit of fun with Bitcoin every once in a while. But I cannot tell you to be buying Bitcoin as a fundamental investor because I know it has to come off at some stage.
All right, CPI.
Oh, our inflation number, yes. So inflation for October came in at 4.8%, which is slightly lower than September's 5.1%, but exactly August, which was also 4.8%. Risks definitely to the upside, though. Food price inflation has eased a little bit, so it's now 5.3% year-on-year compared to 5.4% the year before. And don't forget, food was double-digit inflation last year. Like early part of last year, right?
Mm-hmm.
So we've seen grain decline because now the drought is over. Meat prices have stabilized. And when I say stabilized, at 15.5% year-on-year increase, so you're paying 15.5% more than you did for meat last year this time.
That's crazy.
It's very depressing. But I think at least inflation is in this kind of 3-6 Reserve Bank target band, and it does make us feel a bit better. The one thing I am worried about is that I suspect today and this week the Rand will weaken again, and that Eskom, how very kind of them, have lowered their tariff application for next year from an average of 19.9% to the direct consumer to they are now applying for an 18.9% increase in your electricity price.
They're going to raise it, but they're not going to raise it as much.
They've applied, but they've said we're not going to apply for a 19.9% increase. We're only going to apply for an 18.9%. Is there not enough sarcasm in my voice?
Yeah. There it is.
So this electricity story is a worrying thing. By the way, did you see that Melusi Gigaba did a bit of a U-turn on the nuclear deal?
What do you mean a U-turn?
Because before he was saying, we don't have money for nuclear. Now he's saying, we might have to consider nuclear.
Yeah.
The biggest surprise.
Well, I read this talking about Eskom. Once the biggest and most efficient producer of affordable electricity on the continent, once, now reduced to a penniless beggar under the watchful eyes of this government.
Totally. Yep, that's you. You've summed it up.
Frightening.
Gareth, last week I had a couple of conversations with offshore managers, so managers who invest in emerging markets, and I must tell you, we have fallen completely out of favor. Last year or 6 months ago, they were still saying to me, you know, there's a chance it could possibly happen. We do have to have some money invested in South Africa because there could be a nice turnaround and we want to catch the turnaround. You know,
sure.
Investment managers
makes
do that,
sense,
right?
Yeah.
Forward thinking. Last week, it was all negative. They were telling me South Africa has no human capital anymore. They're saying we're lagging behind Asia so badly that they're just streaks ahead of us. In fact, we're even lagging behind Latin America. And they're just like, what are you guys doing? You were on a good wicket and now you've thrown it away. That is the general sentiment of offshore managers.
Shit.
Yeah, it's pretty bad out there.
All right. Thanks for that. I saw that they did have a Reserve Bank meeting.
And they left rates
unchanged. Same as they were.
And basically, Lesetia was saying, you know, inflation is now in check, but there is so much uncertainty that we cannot risk cutting interest rates, and I'm sorry, that's how it is. Basically, that's what he was saying. You know, he's saying, he kind of went through it, you know, they revised growth slightly up to 0.7%, still really very, not very good, I'm afraid. And inflation's in check. The Rand is fine, but these downgrades. So, of course, he spoke before the downgrade on Friday, and he was just nervous about that. And then, you know, we're getting a big petrol price hike in December.
Mm-hmm.
And he pointed to the fact that we're in such a bad situation that invariably higher taxes, low unemployment are going to have negative impact on us as the consumer. So they left rates unchanged on Thursday, unfortunately.
All right.
Yeah. That's how it is. Which is so the other way around to the U.S., because in the U.S. on Wednesday, they had their U.S. unemployment or jobless claims, they call it, you know, when you apply for your unemployment stipend, whatever you call it, mm-hmm. that thing. It declined by 13,000 to 239,000, so slightly below the expected 240,000. Last week was the 142nd straight week that jobless claims remained below the 300,000 threshold, which is considered to be a strong labor market. So the U.S. labor market is the strongest it has ever been since the 1970s. I mean, and then there's us with 27.7% unemployment. It is the fact that we can't take advantage of this global growth story is very depressing, because you know at some stage it's going to turn, right?
Yeah.
And then the global growth will come down, commodities will come down, and then South Africa won't have any support for growth. So we better fix this now. We really should fix this now.
All right.
Should we talk about a few companies?
Mr. Price and PPC, maybe.
Okay, let's do that. So Mr. Price released their first half 18 results. It looks like they're finally turning it around. Diluted headline earnings per share was up 23.4%. Operating profit increased by 22%. And gross margins, which is the one we always looked at, increased by 280 basis points or 2.8%. So they've done very well. Strict cost control measures. Just Mr. Price, finally. It is one of my favorites, you know that. But then they've had 18 dreadful months. So
yeah.
Let's hope they can keep this going. And then you asked about PPC. They rejected Fairfax's offer last week. So Fairfax were the first people to say, we want to buy PPC. So the Fairfax is a U.S. company, and they were going to finance Fairfax Equity and AfriSam. So the whole idea was that AfriSam and PPC would merge. It kind of leaves AfriSam out in the cold. The whole story there was that PPC was saying, well, I'm sorry, but we're worth a lot more than R5.75.
Yeah.
And remember when they did bid R5.75, the share was trading below R5. It suddenly spiked to above R6,
mm-hmm.
traded all the way up to 7 odd, took some profit, kept some of it. I see it's back now at 6.80, I think, 6.60, somewhere around there. But that's because it's still an asset in play, and we still have Lafarge Holcim and CRH, which are looking to make cash offers for a controlling stake in PPC. So you probably, if you bought when we said you should buy, you probably made some money. I would say take half of it off the table and maybe hold on to see where, if there's another, if the bidding war continues. Let's hope for that.
Okay. Yeah. Cool.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, Antia.
My pleasure. Have a good week.
Good look at the markets this week and everything involved in them, including a little bit about the ratings agencies and even some cryptocurrency discussions, which I know we'll continue to have. All right. Thanks, Antia.
This is CliffCentral.com.